So the setting for our gospel reading, it's the Passover feast. It's in Jerusalem, as it is, and it's one of the many times Jesus goes there, and we see many miracles of Jesus, or signs, as the Gospel of John refers to them. Nicodemus, who is there, sees many of these signs and comes to Jesus at night in secret. Well, John gives us a bit of background on this Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. If the scribes were Israel's lawyers who knew the law and interpreted it, then the Pharisees were the ones who kept the law. They were the keepers of the law. So the Pharisees tried to live according to the law as interpreted by the scribes in meticulous detail. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at face value. Seemingly a good thing, follow the rules in Scripture. John also tells us, though, that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a lot behind that. He was a member of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. This group was concerned with maintaining the spiritual life of Israel, according to the law and the prophets. They were Israel's spiritual leadership. So follow the law meticulously, and also find the spiritualness inside. Is it that? Yeah. So, Nicodemus, then, he's a top-level religious official. So, during the High Holy Feast, he comes to Jesus in secret and takes that time. He makes that effort to see Jesus in a very busy week. So, as a Pharisee, though, Nicodemus, he believed the time of prophets was over. But Jesus sure did sound like a prophet. So Nicodemus says then in John 3:2, what we heard this morning, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who comes from God." Now, it's not that he's saying he's a prophet, but he's getting real close. "So know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So Nicodemus is hoping in the midst of that conversation at night that Jesus will either confirm or deny that he's a prophet. That's the goal, the question. Nicodemus is digging deep. Hundreds of years after the prophets went silent, is this a prophet? Now, Jesus doesn't exactly answer it directly, as Nicodemus was hoping. "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What? So Nicodemus can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again, we find out later, by water and the Spirit. Completely unrelated to the question, is Jesus a prophet? Seemingly. Nicodemus can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. So it's just the two of them. Jesus is standing right in front of Nicodemus. The kingdom of God, the power and majesty of God sent to the world, is standing right in front of him. But Nicodemus can't see it. He doesn't know who this guy is, other than maybe, are you a prophet? See, he sees a rabbi who does miracles and suspects that they must be from God. But that's as far as he goes. He can't see that Jesus is God. He is the king bringing the rule and reign of God into the world. That's why we can hear the answer to the question and make some sense of it. But Nicodemus, the kind of seeing that Jesus says is impossible apart from God, being born again, is not the kind of seeing that Jesus gave us eyes for. It's the kind of seeing that eyes are not used at all. So Paul writes in Corinthians, you've heard this before, "We walk by faith and not by sight." 2 Corinthians 5:6. We walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus says later on, the apostles who have actually seen Jesus with his eyes, so you've heard this too, when he says to the apostles who have seen him with their eyes, "Blessed are those who have not seen who I really am and yet believe." That's in John 20. Jesus tips his hat to those who never actually saw him, and yet they believe and have true faith. Nicodemus could not see the kingdom of God. He could not see who Jesus really is because he had no faith. It wasn't there. So, of course, this is hard for Nicodemus to process. He responds in verse 4, How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Not the best visual. But Jesus corrects him, explaining that rebirth that he's talking about is not physical, but spiritual. It comes from above, whereas Nicodemus is working of a view from below. For how God works in his kingdom is from above. Okay, but it's by water and the Spirit. It's not about what you must do, but about what God must do to you. It's nothing you can control. No action you can influence. Again, as good baptized Christians, we get this. You did nothing at your baptism. A pastor maybe poured some water and spoke some words, but the Spirit, the kingdom of God, did all of its work on that day by water and the Spirit. But Nicodemus, okay, he's the spiritual leader of Judaism in its time of strict rule following. Meaning, I have to do specific actions to be a faithful follower of Yahweh. So this spiritual, passive stuff makes no sense to him. Pharisees were all about doing things, right actions, rule following, so we can understand why he was so confused. And faith is a constant struggle to trust God in ways that our reason and senses and our, the information that we process just doesn't match up. So we know because the Gospel of John that Nicodemus spends the next months and years hearing about Jesus and wrestling with who he truly is and why he has come. It's one of those times in Scripture, pretty rare, in the New Testament, where we see the beginning, a little bit of the processing, and then the result. Paul may be another example of that, being able to see him pre-faith and post-faith. So, by the end of the Gospel of John, we learn that Nicodemus now clings to the words of Jesus. He's changed by them. He trusts them. So, Nicodemus, this is where it comes up again. Nicodemus came to the cross to take the body away from Jesus. Right? I don't want to give away how Lent ends, but Jesus dies. Okay? Everybody knows that? Great. You also know he doesn't stay dead. Alright, I don't want to give away Easter too early, but... So anyway, when Jesus dies, Nicodemus comes to the cross and he takes away Jesus' body. And in chapter 19 of John, if you want to check this in preparation for a few weeks from now, that after the crucifixion, Nicodemus also, this is the actual quote from John, Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, referencing our gospel reading today, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. Nicodemus is still part of the Sanhedrin. He is still a top-level Jewish leader. Jesus, this massive mess two Passovers later, has gone on in Jerusalem. This crucifixion on the hill has happened. This prophet, maybe this rabble-rouser, maybe this random dude from the little tiny town of Nazareth has made this big deal. He's been killed by the Romans with the Jews kind of behind it, etc., etc. And this leader, who originally came by night to see Jesus in secret, brings 75 pounds of stuff to pick up the crucified Jesus. So to pack a dead body in spices is a customary thing to do. And Luke tells us that the women who arrived on Easter morning brought spices with them for the same purpose. You know this. The body packed in spices helped to cover the smell of decomposition. Okay, but 75 pounds, that's a bit excessive. And it would have taken several carts to carry all of that. So there's nothing secret about this visit to Jesus, unlike the first one that was at night. This one would have attracted a good deal of attention amidst the whole crucifixion as well. But note that Nicodemus didn't care anymore.
his faith was finally out there for all to see. In fact, the only places recorded in all the history books where this kind of quantity of spices is used to pack a dead body is when the dead body of a king is being buried. So all Jesus' disciples go into hiding for fear of the ruling council. Remember that? And Nicodemus, a member of that ruling council, comes out of hiding and makes a bold public confession that Jesus is the king. His king. Even before the miracle of Easter, remember, this is before the resurrection, even before the miracle of Easter, what is clear is that whatever drove Jesus to seek Jesus originally, in our gospel reading today, has brought him around and he has been born again. His eyes have been opened. He sees the kingdom of God and he entered into it by faith. So now in the midst of Lent, on this journey that we're on, as we stand at the foot of the cross during this Lenten season and hear Jesus' words, the question is, has it changed us? Has it changed you? Can you see that change in your life? As Nicodemus, as Paul, can look backwards and see the change in their life. So the king beckons you to change, to wear that change boldly and wear it proudly. Now, like Nicodemus, our reason and our free will struggle to grasp this being born again by water and the Spirit. We'll constantly fight against it. We know that we can live an outward, decent life to a certain extent, but only the Holy Spirit causes a person to be born again, to have a new heart and a new mind. Only the Spirit can recreate us as God's holy, purpose-filled people. Only the Spirit of God can drive us daily to live as members of that kingdom, boldly, like Nicodemus. So Jesus makes clear that being born again by water and the Spirit, being baptized and renewed daily, is something we should value highly and wear boldly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And so we are saved, beloved, reborn into his kingdom, and now sent to bring the love and peace of his kingdom to all we meet. Amen. Peace of God that passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.